I'm Michael Green. Thank you. Senior advisor and Japan chair at CSIS and IT manager. We are very pleased and honored to have joining us today the Minister of Defense for Japan, the Honorable Yuriko Koike. Koike Daijin is well known in Washington, has many friends. It's a very distinguished group in the audience today as well. You have many friends here I'm sure you recognize. Minister Daijin graduated from the University of Cairo, which is a unique beginning for any Japanese political career, went into television, and in 1992 was elected to the upper house, and then in 93 to the house, the lower house of the Diet, and has served five terms. She's had a very distinguished career, very quickly was moved by a series of governments into high-level positions, including the minister in charge of Okinawa and Hokkaido development, the minister for environment. As minister for environment, Koike Daijin had many important innovations. My favorite was the decision to introduce cool biz, meaning no neckties in the summer in Japan. I've noticed that the opposition party has declared in the upper house, which they now control, that cool biz is off and you have to wear neckties, but I hope cool biz prevails. We could use it in Washington. Before joining the defense ministry, Koike-san was the first national security advisor in Japan to Prime Minister Abe, where she designed Japan's National Security Council, which I hope to hear more about today. And then, of course, she moved over to be the second Minister of Defense for Japan. Koike-san has prepared remarks in English, and then we'll have a question and answer session, which I'll moderate for about 20 or 30 minutes after that. So please join me in welcoming Minister of Defense Yuriko Koike.
Dr. Green, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's a great pleasure as well as a great honor for me to be here again and to speak in front of such an esteemed audience. CSIS is one of the most prestigious and well-known think tanks in the world. Last time I was here as the special advisor to the Prime Minister for National Security Affairs, and today I am here as Minister of Defense, a post which I assumed last month. Some people call me the Japanese Rice after Madam Secretary Rice. And this may be because of both of us work for national security and both of us wear skirts. I highly respect Madam Secretary Rice, who has been energetically and tirelessly working on a wide range of issues around the world. And I would very much like to follow in her path to the best of my ability. But literally speaking, Japanese rice means sushi. So why don't you call me Madam Sushi? Anyway, I would be very pleased if I could learn from her extensive experiences. Now, let us now turn to something that is no joking matter. The earthquake that occurred in Japan last month, I would like to take advantage of this opportunity to express my deep appreciation to the people of the United States. On the 16th of July, a major earthquake of magnitude 6.9 on the Richter scale hit Niigata Chuetz area, which is to the northwest of Tokyo, facing the Sea of Japan. There was serious damage and many casualties. 11 people died, approximately 2,000 more were injured, and 1,000 houses were destroyed. Right after the earthquake, I visited the area and viewed the destruction with my own eyes, directing our SDF units engaged in disaster relief operations. The situation was quite serious, with basic infrastructure, including electricity and water temporarily shut down, which brought inconvenience and created anxiety among victims of the earthquake. In light of this situation, the United States was kind enough to offer about 100 air conditioning units to be fitted to the facilities that accommodate those victims. Ambassador Schiffer and General Wright personally notified of those donations. Such a timely and generous offer by the United States was indeed a source of great encouragement to the people in the disaster area. People in Japan have found it quite reassuring and heartening to know the U.S. stands by us, which has created even greater confidence in our friendship with you. It has strengthened the already solid basis of our alliance. Again, I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks to the people of the United States of America. I would also like to add that the Iraqi ambassador to Japan paid a visit to the area and encouraged the SDF units engaged in relief operations, which had also operated in Samawa, Muthanna province of Iraq. I think that both of Iraqi people and those Japanese who suffered due to this earthquake share the same wish to live in peace and comfort, free from want. Let me discuss how I would like to address security challenges in the region as a Minister of Defense. First of all, like Prime Minister Abe, I am one of the strong believers in the Japan-U.S. alliance. This alliance constitutes the core of the security of Japan. Maintaining an enduring bond between Japan and the United States is indispensable for our prosperity now and in the future. It is perhaps unnecessary to say in front of this audience that we have been confronting with diversified and complex security challenges in recent years. Newly emerging threats, including proliferation of ballistic missiles, have become a major concern, and when you focus on the neighborhood of Japan, the regional security situation is characterized by serious challenges, most prominent among them North Korea's launch of ballistic missiles and professed nuclear testing last year. Against the backdrop of such developments, it is of vital importance to further strengthen the effectiveness as well as to enhance the credibility of our alliance in order to effectively respond to those security challenges. Technically speaking, this alliance is embodied in the Treaty of Mutual Cooperation and Security, but we have to go beyond words on paper and to realize the spirit of the alliance so that close ties can be maintained between publics on both sides of the Pacific Ocean, while they make earnest efforts to contribute to mutual security. Realizing the inseparable nature of the security of both countries, close governmental communications have also to be maintained, including those at the ministerial level. That is why I was determined to come all the way to Washington, D.C., in spite of the tense political situation in Tokyo. In order to fulfill my responsibility as Minister of Defense, I would like to tackle a variety of challenges, including the implementation of the agreement on the realignment of the United U.S. forces as an important way to further strengthen the alliance, bearing in mind what I have just explained to you. I would like to turn to the challenges I face as Defense Minister of Japan. There are five major ones I have identified since taking up my post. First, the change in the legal status of Defense Agency to Defense Ministry in January this year clearly indicates the necessity for the Ministry of Defense to become further policy-oriented and to develop a more sophisticated strategic vision for the future in order to faithfully meet the expectations of the people in Japan and to effectively fulfill the responsibilities that Japan has taken on as a member of the international community. To accomplish this, I have been making efforts to restructure the internal organizations and to strengthen the policy planning functions while expanding the military ministry's relationship with the general public to broaden support for defense policies. Second, I have been making an effort to strengthen this alliance, focusing on the expeditious implementation of the agreement on the initiatives for the realignment of U.S. forces in Japan. In particular, this bilateral agreement is essential to maintaining deterrence and capabilities of U.S. forces to respond effectively to evolving security situations, as well as to reducing the negative impact and footprint of U.S. forces on local communities, including Okinawa Prefecture. This underscores the necessity of implementing the agreement as quickly as possible. I personally have some background regarding Okinawa issues, since I once held the longest ministerial post in charge of Okinawa for 2 full years, or I should say only 2 years. And the post of Ministry of and the post of Minister of the Environment as well. And I would like to make utmost efforts to complete the agreed realignment initiatives, including relocation of the Marine Corps Air Station Futenma, relocation of U.S. Marines from Okinawa to Guam, while seeking understanding of the part of the local communities. On the basis of a strengthened bilateral relationship, I would like to expand the network of security relations among like-minded countries in the Asia-Pacific region, including such countries as Australia and India, which share common values and interests with us as democracies and human rights. Third, I would like to make sure that the self-defense forces can respond effectively to a variety of challenges and contingencies. For example, we have no ensured steady development of ballistic missile defense capabilities, and also to establish a posture appropriately attuned to dealing with terrorist incidents, major natural disaster, and so on. In 1995, a major earthquake hit the Henshin area in the western part of the main island of Japan, with approximately 6,400 dead or missing. My former electoral district was also affected. About 150 citizens died. Right after the earthquake, I ran about the disaster area by bike, and I witnessed an outpouring of support from the locals for the SDF disaster relief efforts. That experience reminds me of the necessity of ensuring that the SDF develops such a posture with which it can meet the expectations and maintain the confidence of the Japanese people. Fourth, as a responsible member of the international community, Japan must make proactive efforts in the area of international peace cooperation activities. I have visited such locations as Iraq, the Golan Heights, Kuwait, and East Timor, and saw firsthand the enormous efforts made by the SDF contingents. I know that those efforts were very much appreciated by relevant countries. Greater importance has been attached to international cooperation activities as one of the missions of the SDF, and we at MOD are looking to improve our policies in this area for the future. Last but not least, I would like to emphasize our commitment to strengthening policies and procedures regarding information security and to enhancing our counterintelligence capabilities. I regret to say that we have recently experienced some incidents which involved lax handling of sensitive information. Although strict procedures should have been followed, these are truly very unfortunate incidents, and I think it is urgently necessary for us to review our information security practices. This is all the more important because we are responsible for the defense of Japan. I have already directed my staff to develop more stringent measures in this area. When I assumed my current post, I addressed men and women of the Ministry of Defense to improve their morals and boost their morale. What I tried to convey to them was that those in charge of national security have to improve the morals of their organization, for example, by tightening information security while boosting their morale. Let me now turn to my personal interest and involvement in security issues. When I decided to study abroad, I selected the University of Cairo in Egypt, as Mr. Michael Green introduced me to, and became the second Japanese graduate from that school. I have been interested in Middle East situation, especially in a global context, and as you might expect, from the perspective of its relationship to the national security of Japan. I also have paid close attention to the Central Asia countries, which have geopolitical importance for Japan, and was one of the founders of the Central Asia and Caucasus Research Institute in 1999, the first institution of its kind in Japan. One of the areas I have long focused on is energy security. This background, together with my experiences as Minister of the Environment, led me to think about national security issues in a comprehensive manner, not concentrating solely on military aspects. I try to take into account the dynamic correlations among a wide range of factors, including geopolitical issues, environmental factors, and food security. For Japan, lack of crude oil resources is an inconvenient truth, but on the other hand, it is a convenient truth for promoting innovations in the field of energy-saving technology. Before assuming my current position, I was appointed as special advisor to Prime Minister Abe for National Security Affairs. Based on my own experience and understanding of developments related to Japan's national security, I provided recommendations and advice to the Prime Minister. I also devoted myself to establishing a Japanese equivalent to your National Security Council, NSC. Legislation to set up such an organization has already been approved by the cabinet. I discussed this issue when I was here at last time. While I was involved in drafting the bill, I got a lot of useful advice from many American friends, including Dr. Green, who is chairing today's session. I'd like to thank my American friends for their support, and we will try to pass the JNSC, J for Japan, not for Jordan, JNSC bill through the Diet in the fall session this year. We are looking forward to a new mechanism for national security with JNSC up and running from next April, inshallah. As defense minister, I focus on detailed defense-related issues which are directly linked with the lives and safety of the people. The Ministry of Defense and the SDF play critical roles at the core of the national security of Japan, which has brought home to me the serious responsibilities that go with this position. The Ministry of the Environment, which I headed for 3 years, has only about 1,100 personnel, When I was special advisor to the Prime Minister for National Security, I was supported by two brilliant staff people. Now, I have 260,000 men and women under my direct command. Irrespective of the size of the organization, the ability to set goals and to identify the path to achieve them will be required. In other words, management capability. I believe my past experience and my own expertise in the field of national security should provide substantial leverage when I tackle those challenges and achieve what is expected of me. I have identified these five challenges based upon my own past experience, and I intend to make utmost efforts so that you will find the achievements satisfactory from your point of view. In closing, I would like to touch upon what I believe is of a critical importance to the development and implementation of policies at the national level. The good cause behind those policies is obviously quite important, but those policies are also those policies also must be understood and sympathized by the people. I think this is also true of our bilateral relationship. The United States and Japan, as vital allies, must, first of all, share a good cause, emphasizing the importance of ensuring that that each of us can support this relationship. This will only come about through improvement, understanding of one another. The most important tenet of Prime Minister Abe's administration is the departure from all policies and practices from the post-World War II regime. From such a perspective, this administration has been addressing specific policies, including the reform of the Japanese educational system, review of the legal issues surrounding the exercise of the right of collective self-defense, and the reform of the career system of the civil servants. These measures are not necessarily popular among the public, but all of them are important milestones for Japan in the 21st century, as well as for the region and even for the world, and must be dealt with. In the field of security, we are confronted with considerable challenges in the future, but our paths are not necessarily overshadowed with daunting clouds. I would like to work closely with American friends, contributing to the best of my ability to realizing an era filled with blessings for all throughout the 21st century, so that this century can be viewed as one filled with a lot of sunshine. Thank you very much.
Minister Koike, thank you. That was a strategic vision. It was a lot of work for the Defense Ministry. I see Ofuro-san and your staff. They're going to be very busy. We'll take questions now. If you could raise your hand, we have microphones, and please keep the questions brief. We'll be using an interpreter. Yoichi Kato, Asahi Shimbun. We'll start with a hard one first.
Minister Koike, thank you very much for a comprehensive speech. But I was a bit surprised that you didn't mention China even once. And I was wondering how you see China as a security challenge for Japan and how to meet that challenge. Thank you very much.
Several questions? Great. We'll, that's a good idea. We'll collect two or three questions. Chris.
Yes, sir.
Microphone.
Okay. Usually I make so much noise, everybody hears me anyway. Chris Nelson of the Nelson Report. A two-part question with your indulgence. The upcoming North-South Korea summit, are you satisfied with the level of consultation so far between the Korean government and yours, especially as it regards the strategic interests that you mentioned in your talk, you know, the missiles and the nuclear test, and in particular on the six-party process? I think there is some rising concern here that the humanitarian and domestic political issue of the abductees has become an impediment to your government full participation in the talks at this time, and that perhaps the strategic concerns are being lost in the wake of the understandable humanitarian and domestic concerns. And I'd certainly like to know how you see that issue and what you think can be done to get over the over this obstacle. Thank you.
Sir, on the right side with the...
Al Milliken, Washington Independent Writers. Since the United States president labeled and identified the axis of evil, namely Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, how has Japan responded, changed or altered its relationship and security concerns with these particular nations?
ご質問ありがとうございました。まず1点目、中国について、触れなかったのはなぜかということでありましたけれども、特に故意に外したものではございませんし、現在の東アジア情勢を見ますと、中国の軍事力の拡大というのは大変目覚ましいものがございます。特に注視していきたいと思っております。また一方でその軍事力の透明性が欠けているのではないかということについても、これからも国防白書などを通じるだけでなく、より透明性を確保していただきたいと思っています。そのためには中国の国防大臣の来日も控えておりますし、また日中の合同演習などを通じてコミュニケーションを深めていくことによって、中国のこの軍事力の拡大に対しての世界からの懸念ということについては対処していく必要があると思っております。それからこれ、
はい、Let me respond to the first question on China. Why did I not mention China in my speech? That was not on purpose. I believe that China is China's has been expanding militarily at a rapid pace.And this is something that we have to pay attention to. We hope that there will be greater transparency in what the Chinese are doing. The Chinese defense minister will be coming to Japan, and I believe that we can address these questions in the context of that visit.
2つ目のご質問は、南北朝鮮の、韓国と北朝鮮の今度の首脳会談ということに絡んだ手だと思いますけれども、今回の会談によって、南北の南北朝鮮の間での韓国と北朝鮮との間で実りある議論を交わしてくださる交わしておかれることを期待をいたしております。ただ一方でそのことがですね、実際にどこまで核の無能力化にまで実際につながるのかどうか注視していかなければならない。また南北間の会話が進むことによって、また6カ国協議での会6カ国協議におけるその会話といいましょうか、対話が深まるのかどうか、ただここの2カ国間だけがずっと走っていくのかどうか、これについてもよく見ていかなければならないと思っています。そしてまたその結果として作業部会が開かれることによって、我が国にとりましてやはり拉致問題についても触れていかなければならない。このなぜこの時期になったのかはよく分かりませんけれども、南北の会談についてはこれからも注意深く見ていきたいと思っております。
The second question regarding North-South Korea talks, I I think that the dialogue, in the course of the dialogue, various arguments will be presented, and I'm not sure how far these discussions will actually lead to the solving of the nuclear issue. As for the six-party, this is being the overall context is the six-party talks, and the question is how to what degree there will be a fruitful dialogue that will lead to a solution. The there will be working committees in the six-party context that will need to address various subsidiary issues, various issues, including the abductee issue.
それから3つ目のご質問でありますけれども、いわゆるあのアクセスオブイーボーの国々に対しての取り扱いということだったかと思いますけれども、やはり私はあのこれらの国々は大量破壊兵器であるとか核兵器、核の関連の物質などの拡散という点でやはり世界から今も注視されている国々であろうとこのように考えております。そのためには例えばあの国連の決議によって世界各国が協力して対処していかなければならない場合、そしてまたあのそれぞれに呼びかけをすることによってあの核の拡散、大量破壊兵器の拡散などにつながらないように国際社会へと戻すという作業、これらをそれあの国々によって、あの方法は違うと思いますけれども、このいくつか挙げられた国についてはですね、世界が共通して感じ取る中において我が国としてもできることをやっていきたいと思っております。
The third question regarding the so-called access of evil, how to address this question. There are among the countries you mentioned, there are a number of countries which are engaged or suspected of engaging in nuclear proliferation and in developing weapons of mass destruction. And relations with these countries have to be looked at in the context of these questions. There has to be continuous dialogue, and the aim being to return these countries to the arena of international dialogue. We will play our part in that.
Well, don't we take a few more? Did I see your hand, General Gregson?
Chip Gregson, retired Marine and former resident of Okinawa. Thank you for your support for the Alliance Transformation and Realignment Agreement. You also mentioned the desire to reform the education system. I wonder if you have some suggestions on how we may take advantage of the American presence in Japan to cooperate with the local communities to aid that education system transformation, particularly in Okinawa.
Yes, Murata-sensei. Is that yes?
Thank you very much. Koji Murata, Doshi University from Kyoto. Nice to see you again, Minister Koike. My question is, in the coming September, I guess the government will submit the proposal to extend the anti-terrorism activities law in the Indian Ocean. And so far, according to the Japanese newspapers, Mr. Ozawa of the Democratic Party of Japan are strongly opposed to extension of this bill. And according to the newspapers, he even refused to talk about discuss the amendment of the bill with the governmental parties. So I'd like to ask you a prospect of this important bill's future. Thank you very much.
One more. Yes, sir. On this side.
Thank you. My name is Hamza Ahmed. I'm with Asia Policy Point. My question is in regards to the acquirement of F-22 fighters. Yomiuri Shimbun a few weeks ago said that in the fiscal 2008 budget there was a proposal for Japan to develop a domestic advanced stealth fighter. My question is, in what way is this a response to the United States' reluctance to sell the F-22 abroad, and in what way is this an older proposal that is now coming to fruition? Thank you.
最初のご質問、沖縄の件でもございました。そしてまた日本教育改革と合わせてのご質問で、だったかと思います。沖縄において、海兵隊の方々をはじめとする米国の皆さんが多数お住まいになっている、今度の米国再編、この米軍再編でその数が減ることにはなることと思いますが、どうやってそのアメリカ、沖縄在住のアメリカの方々とこう接点を持つのかということで、米海兵隊の方とそれから沖縄の皆さんとのこの接点を持ついろんなプログラムが大変有効に動いているということを聞いております。そういった沖縄在住の米関係者の方々と、そして沖縄の皆さんとか、そういった例えば英語の勉強をはじめとするそういうこのエンカウンターをできるだけたくさんお持ちいただくということは、非常に理解を進めるという意味でもよろしいのではないかと思っております。それから2番目の、村田先生のご質問、テロ特の関係でありますが、一つご順番に言ってやってましたっけ。
Taking up General Gregson's question first, I think that cooperation between the U.S. forces in Okinawa and the Okinawans, and more generally between U.S. forces and Japanese, is a very important point. And I am very pleased that we have found effective means of cooperating with each other in this context. For instance, Marines helping people in the local community to learn English and having other cultural ties as well. And I hope that this will continue. I hope and expect that this will continue.
次に村田先生のご質問でした。テロ特措法の今後の流れでございますけれども、今インド洋において我が国は海上自衛隊がインド洋において各国のこのテロとの戦いに OEF に参加している国々、この中にはそのパキスタンなどのイスラム国の国も含まれるわけですけれども、そして多くはアフガニスタンでのアルカイダなどのテロのとの戦いを行っているというあのオペレーションが日本の法律によって10月31日で期限が来てしまって、そしてこの法律が延長されなければ11月1日にはそのインド洋から日本の船が消えてしまうという話になってくるわけでございます。で、民主党の小沢党首代表はこの点について延長には反対であると、そもそも反対であるという、まあ、この辺の受け取り方はちょっとまだ明確ではないかもしれません。いずれにしても反対であると。この7月29日に行われたあの参議院の選挙の結果、参議院では野党民主党がを含みます野党がマジョリティを取ったということから、たとえそれ今の法律案延長の案が衆議院で可決されても参議院では否決されてしまうという状況にあって、大変厳しい今このテロ
ロ OEF についてはあ今日本は大変厳しいところに立たされてしまうことになってしまいます。私はあの小沢投手がですねこの重要性についてわからない人ではないと、ましてや日本がですねテロとの戦いをそのさっさとやめてしまうことは誰が喜ぶのかということを考えますと今小沢投手がおっしゃっておられるような選択肢はほぼないのではないかと思っております。ただあの議会においてさまざまなその法律的な議論の中で民主党側から若干の修正などを要求してくるかもしれません。それらは国会において議論をされるものだと思っております。また特に小沢投手はかつて湾岸戦争の頃にいかに日本の貢献をするかと日本が湾岸戦争において貢献、日本国としてですね自衛隊なども活用して、貢献ができるかということを苦労して、最後に嫌い、をですね、嫌いの総会艇を送ったというそういう作業にですね一番苦労された方であってその時はいかにして送るかということに苦労なさった方であると思います。その同じ方がですね今回はダメであるというのは私はむしろ筋が通らないのではないかと思いますし国際貢献こそこれからの日本の外交でありそしてまた防衛の総合的な力の出す総合的な力としてそれを出す一番の方法であり私はこの点については若干理解を超えてしまうと小沢さんの考えておられることについての理解を超えてしまうと言わざるを得ないと思っております。またですから小沢投手の今のお考えというのはどうも湾岸戦争の時のカレンダーからあまりめくられていないのではないか PKO 5原則 PKO のなどそれから今回防衛省になりそして自衛隊の国際協力が本来任務に加わったというようなどんどんと今進化をしている中において少し議論が湾岸戦争の頃に行われていた議論のままではないのかなと失礼ながら思ったりをするところであります。
Third, with regard to Mr. Ozawa's refusal to or expression of opposition to the renewal of the anti-terrorism law. This law is going to expire at the end of October, and unless it is renewed, the MSDF ships, which are now resupplying the international forces battling terrorism in Afghanistan, resupplying them in the Indian Ocean, will have to withdraw. Mr. Ozawa has expressed his opposition to the renewal of this act, and he has said that he's always been opposed to this. It's not entirely clear exactly what it means, but the opposition won the recent upper house election, and therefore, even if the lower house passes. Renews the bill. If the upper house rejects it, the ships will have to withdraw. I'm not. It seems to me that Mr. Ozawa is not the kind of person who doesn't understand that if we stop fighting terror. Who is the one who will be who will benefit? Who will be pleased? And so I am hoping that the DPJ will request changes, and then we will have discussions over exactly to what extent we can accommodate these demands. After all, during the Gulf War, Mr. Ozawa worked very hard. I'm sorry, during the Gulf War of 1990 to 91, Mr. Ozawa worked very hard to try to work out how Japan could contribute using its self-defense forces. And after, as a result of great efforts, he finally was able to get some minesweepers sent after the end of hostilities. And therefore, to say no to any kind of military-related action this time seems to me very inconsistent. International cooperation is the task of Japan, as it is of all other countries, and using the self-defense force to help in this endeavor is an important part of international cooperation. It seems to me that Mr. Ozawa's calendar has remained stuck in the Gulf War of 1990 to 91, and that his discussions really have not moved forward regarding PKO and so forth from that time. After all, now the defense agency has become the defense ministry, and all sorts of other changes have taken place, but he seems to be stuck in the past. At least that's the way it looks to me.
3点目、F-22 ファイターのことでありますけれども、私どもはこれからの空の面での防衛に関してやはり地域の各国の状況がどうなっているのか注視をしつつ、またこれからの東アジアの戦略的なその安全のために我が国はどういう形で空の防衛を担っていくのか、そういう観点から FX について検討をしているところであります。また言われているように、この問題は日本の情報保全が十分でないからではないかというようなこともございますが、まあ、情報がきっちり守られている国というのは非常にどの国を見てもなかなか厳しいところがあろうと思いますが、今我が国においてはこの情報保全ということ、特に防衛省自衛隊においては情報保全こそがまずは国を守るという観点から、この情報保全のシステムをですね、きっちり再構築をするということを私の大臣としての課題の5つの課題を挙げた中に入れさせていただいたところであります。戦略的にまた最も効率よく、量ではなくて質の観点から我が国をの空の防衛を守るための必要なものは何か、こういったことから答えを弾き出していきたい、またアメリカとその点でも協力をしていきたいと考えております。
The third point regarding the next generation of fighters, the F-22, this is something that has to be considered from the viewpoint of Japan's own security, from the viewpoint of the security of East Asia as a whole, how to It is a subject with broad ramifications. And in this context, I do admit that there has been a question regarding the adequacy of preserving or guarding the security of information or information on security. No country, after all, is entirely clean with regard to this question, but certainly our defense ministry needs to improve its information security policy and system, and we are indeed rebuilding it. This is one of the 5 points I made in my speech. what's important, after all, is not quantity, but the quality of the forces that we have. And it's also important in terms of our relationship with the United States.
Minister Koike, thank you. It's time now to wrap up. Thank you for very forthright answers to some very good questions. Copies of the minister's prepared remarks will be available outside. Minister Koike has honored us by speaking a second time at CSIS. I would note that every time the minister gives a speech here, she gets promoted. So we look forward to your career and our gatherings continuing to move forward together. Please join me in thanking Minister Koike.